Remember the good news that I carry. Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, sprung from the race of David. It is on account of this that I have my own hardships to bear, even to being chained like a criminal. But they cannot chain up God's news. So I bear it all for the sake of those who are chosen, so that in the end they may have the salvation that is in Christ Jesus and the eternal glory that comes with it. Here is a saying that you can rely on. If we have died with him, then we shall live with him. If we hold firm, then we shall reign with him. If we discern him, then he will discern us. We may be unfaithful, but he is always faithful, for he cannot disown his own self. Remind them of this, and tell them in the name of God that there is to be no wrangling about words. All that this ever achieves is the destruction of those who are listening. Do all you can to present yourself in front of God as a man who has come through his trials, and a man who has no cause to be ashamed of his life's work, and has kept a straight course with the message of the truth. And now our reading from today's Gospel according to Mark. One of the scribes came up to Jesus and put a question to him. Which is the first of all the commandments? Jesus replied, This is the first. Listen, Israel, the Lord our God is the one Lord, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this. You must love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. The scribe said to him, Well spoken, Master, what you have said is true, that he is one and there is no other, to love him with all your heart, with all your understanding and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. This is far more important than any holocaust or sacrifice. Jesus, seeing how wisely he had spoken, said, You are not far from the kingdom of God. And after that, no one dared to question him any more. Our reflection for today. Our readings today are about words and their creative power, for good or for ill. Our ability to speak, to sing, to write, are signs of being in the image and likeness of God, the Creator. And in particular, God's Word that issues from the Father and became flesh for our sake. But do we do as God does with the Word? Do we create or do we destroy? Liberate or imprison? Celebrate or denigrate? Words have power to shape our society, particularly our modern society, as we see every day in the persuasive power of advertising, in a politician's speech, in the litigation debates in our law courts, in a simple word of greeting or a hostile word of dismissal. And our computers, our mobile phones with their text messages and so on, give us almost unlimited access to words. In fact, we can become cavalier in our use of words, rather like millionaires lighting cigars with $100 bills and tossing them away. I remember a Dominican telling me about his research into the early days of the École Biblique, the French Dominican Biblical School in Jerusalem. As he leafed through their journals and reports from the 19th century, he noted how few corrections they made to their handwritten texts. Their first draft, in copperplate handwriting, was effectively their final draft, ready for printing. He had the distinct impression that they took great care over their words before they committed them to paper. Do we today take the same care? In our first reading, Paul exhorts Timothy to see that there is to be no wrangling about words. In Paul's experience, all this ever achieves is the destruction of those who are listening. And remember, Paul is here talking about the preaching of the good news. If we so debase the message of Jesus with our wrangling, our litigation, there seems little chance that the rest of our conversation, our discourse, will be creative, uplifting, and liberating. The words of the Word made flesh are meant to incarnate themselves in our hearts and minds and enable us to speak in a Christ-inspired way, like those disciples at Pentecost. It may not be easy, but our discipleship of Jesus surely means that we should not give up, not slip into the temptation to belittle rather than to build up, to hurt rather than to heal with our words. The hardships that Paul experienced in prison, being chained like a criminal, as he says, could well have made him a bitter, withdrawn man, raging at the world. But his focus is on the good news that cannot be chained up. And so Paul preaches in season and out of season, in prison and out of prison. As he says, bearing it all, so that in the end they might have the salvation that is in Christ Jesus. So Paul keeps working in prison, preaching for the good of all. In our gospel text, Jesus summarizes the Old Testament Torah so well that the scribe who put the question to him can do no better than repeat Jesus' words, and he does so gladly. But it is one thing to be able to say the right words. It is another thing to treasure them and live by them. Jesus, who knows us better than we know ourselves, says to this scribe, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." This scribe, it seems, not only speaks words, he lives by them. We are all capable of mouthing the required creeds of our faith, the right prayers for our liturgy, the customary expressions of friendship and affection. But let's take care that we don't treat them like we treat so many of those words on our computer screens, on our mobile phone screens, cut and paste, delete and trash. Given all the ways of making words at our disposal nowadays, we may think we are rich, but perhaps we impoverish and demean ourselves and others by a too cavalier attitude to words. Our Bible readings today remind us that our ability to make words is a great gift from God, and that we are meant to use this gift wisely. Let us pray that we do not abuse this great gift.